Investor Intelligence provides general information only. You should consider seeking independent advice to see how this information relates to your unique circumstances. Please refer to the terms and conditions available at investorintelligence.com.au for more.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Investor Intelligence, brought to you by the team at The Property Mentors. It's your weekly podcast for all things investment and hosted by me, Phoebe Sikowski-Wallace. So today I'm joined once again by Herman Bernardi, the Mentor Team Director here at The Property Mentors. Listeners may remember Herman from our previous episodes on what you should consider when choosing a job as an investor and also asking for a pay raise to support your investment portfolio. Two great episodes. If you haven't checked them out yet, please go to the show notes for links to those episodes. Welcome, Herman.
Thanks for having me, Phoebe.
Of course. So Herman, some people want to build a portfolio without the help of a team, and that's fine. But in previous episodes, we've talked about having a mentor and the benefits that come along with that, you know, such as being held accountable for your goals, having access to a network of established experts, just to name a couple. But one of the more, I'd say, kind of forgotten benefits of having a mentor is their access to off-market property opportunities. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah. So can you start off and tell me what is an off-market property opportunity if someone hasn't heard that term before?
Yeah. It's basically all in the name. It's a property that's not advertised on sites like Domain, realestate.com, urban.com, etc. So it's essentially we're dealing directly with the vendor for that specific property rather than it being advertised on the market and being available to anyone that has access to the internet.
Yeah, so that would be more of an on-market property. Yeah. Why would someone keep it off-market as opposed to sort of open it up to the public?
It just depends on what stage the development's at. So most of your established properties, so previously owned properties, they're going to be on-market opportunities. Mm-hmm. So that's the stuff you'll see on realestate.com. For developers, it's in their interest sometimes to get a few sales, I guess, off their books before they start the development process mm-hmm. so they can go and get financing. So typically, they would work with companies like us to help with that. Now, I guess the benefit in that is we get first pick. We've been operating for 9 years this year. So Luke's obviously built these relationships over the past two decades since he's been in property. Mm-hmm. So for us, I guess we've got a proven track record with these developers. So they've come to us first saying, this is the project we're doing. Do you want to have first go at it kind of thing? So
what are some of the benefits of buying off the market properties as opposed to the more publicly known properties that are open to everyone?
Yeah. Okay. So the biggest thing is the bidding war, right? So if you're the only person looking at that property, because we've gone out there and basically taken that property off the market to show to you, you're not going to come across someone else saying, oh, I'll pay an extra 50K for that property, right? If you did do that on realestate.com and the agent gets a few offers and they're obviously going to take the biggest offer, you can't control that price point. And that price point is particularly important as part of our research to get that capital growth so you can buy your second property using equity, essentially. So that's one reason is keeping that price point where it needs to be. And the second thing is the actual property selection. So we typically, for the vendors that we've worked with over the last 9 years, we've got a good track record with them. So we get a bit more negotiating power in terms of flexibility with deposits, longer settlement terms, but most importantly, first pick of the project, right? Yeah. So we get the corner blocks, we get the big balconies, we basically cherry pick the best properties in each project, and they will go to our members essentially. So where if you were to go to urban.com, which is an off the plan website, where you can find off the plan properties, you're probably, depending on how big the project is, the 20th or 30th person in that project, what do you think the first 20 people did? They pick the best slots, you know? So that's the biggest benefit on that front for us as a company. We stay away from realestate.com. Not that it's not it's a good platform.
Sure,
yeah. If you want to go and buy a PPR or something like that. But from an investment perspective, the amount of tax benefits that you're essentially saying goodbye to when you are looking for properties on realestate.com, it's a difference between a property being positively geared and negatively geared. It is the key difference between it, particularly if we're talking about interest rates at 6.57%. Also, for developers, advertising on realestate.com and those sites, it's expensive.
Yeah, right?
It's expensive, and you get leads through there that aren't always the most highest intent leads, right?
Yeah.
So then off the back of that, they need to hire people to follow up those leads, sell the property. So it's built into their finances to use companies like us for that, right? Now, the thing is, you as an individual investor will never be able to do that. Even me working for TBM, I reckon I'll struggle randomly calling up a developer we've never worked with before and saying, hey, do you want to give me, can I see your price list, first of all, and then can I start selling your stock? Or that just doesn't happen. The last thing he's going to do is be taking calls from the general public to sell his
stock. That's right, he's going to go to his network for sure. Yeah absolutely. So you mentioned before that there's less chance of getting into this bidding war and overpaying, but at the Property Mentors, we still do see people missing out on these off-market opportunities. So it clearly isn't a matter of no competition at all. So what should people keep in mind when being offered off-market opportunities? Like, would you say they're actually up against some savvier investors, people who know the value of this opportunity?
Make sure your education and all your ducks are lined up before we even get to property presentation. If you're not above an 8 on all three of your stages of readiness, then you're not going to be able to move quickly enough. So yes, we can get these off-market opportunities, but if we're going to present one day and you're going to give it 2 or 3 weeks because you are still figuring things out, you won't have that property because there's other people looking at that property as well. So it's not exclusive. There's a big difference between off-market properties and exclusive properties. We do have exclusive properties that the rest of the public don't have access to, but off-market opportunities just simply means what I said in the beginning. It's not on the internet for you to just go and make your own inquiries. So yes, you need to have your ducks in line, so when that opportunity does arise, you can go essentially straight away. There's not other things that you need to do before you put an EOI in. That's gonna help you secure those properties. But yes, you're correct in saying that it's not exclusive, it's off-market.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. So how then are off-market opportunities found?
Networks, yeah. So essentially part of what you're paying for being a member here at TPM is our networks, right? Networks, not just for how long we've been in the market, but the fact that we're in the market every single day. like I said, as an individual, you couldn't just call. So that's essentially what you're tapping into. We've also been operating for almost a decade. So you can imagine how many conversations we've had with many different developers. Not all of them ones that we work with, right? Similar to previous episodes that we've done, not everyone in their field is good at what they do. So off-market opportunities, you need to identify where is it coming from, kind of thing. Why is that an off-market opportunity, right? So is it just a company that's got some pretty bad stock and they're looking to flog it? So they've given it to one company to flog all their stock, right? Brokers typically get woven into this in some sort of way. So for us, over the last decade, we've worked with good developers, we've worked with not so good developers. The ones that we do have that has put really high quality products on the ground, right, we obviously make sure that we engage in that relationship, we build that relationship out, we work closely with them, in some cases even before the project is even on the market or even an idea, right? So I guess the open door kind of policy that we get with developers is what allows us to get these opportunities. which you just can't do as an individual.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of the same how we've spoken in the past about not all mortgage brokers are the same. Some are actually more qualified to talk about your specific situations. Yeah. Just like in any title, some they're just not all the same. But you're saying as well, all off-market opportunities or all people who look after that are not the same either.
Yeah. Oh, I've had with my members that I've worked with, I've heard of a couple of particularly bad horror stories of people that where there's been one project, they typically 10 stories high, they give it to one company and that's all that that company does. That's all they sell, right? So they get a lead in, that's where that person's going to be put, right? So off-market opportunities in isolation seems like great. Oh, I get something that other people can't get.
Yeah,
it only works if the developer's putting stock on the ground that still have really good investment fundamentals behind it. So off-market opportunities, to summarize, it can be a really good thing, but you still need to look at what kind of stock are they putting on the ground, what's the quality, what's their build times, all of those kind of things play into it. What I will say, though, is if I had an opportunity between two, something on realestate.com or something off-market, I'm always going to go with the something off-market, right? Just for the simple fact is it is typically a bit cheaper to get into the market that way, right? I would say 90% of what we do here at TPM, unless someone's looking for something that needs to settle immediately, right? 90% of what we do is off-market, not available to the rest of the population. And I would say some of our best performing properties that we've sold have all been off-market. And exactly in this, exactly in what I explained before, that we're working with these developers before the project has even hit the ground, right? So they're already thinking about their sales strategy. That's the stock we want.
Yeah.
Also, probably another good thing to add in there, when we do have tight relationships with vendors, when we do have these off-market opportunities, when it does get to settlement and things go wrong or something changes in your life, we've got a hell of a lot more negotiating power because we have worked with them for so long to help clients get out of situations if they lose their job or something like that happens. We get a bit more wiggle room there because essentially we just go to them going, well, if you're going to play hardball here, and we just won't sell your stock.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. So there's many benefits outside of just a property selection for going down this path and working with properties like this.
And because of that built relationship, they would know you're sort of good for it as opposed to if they were selling it to someone just from the public.
Yeah. Well, if you were an individual, I'm sorry, but most vendors are going to tell you, tough.
Yeah, tough.
Sort it out or find someone else to buy your block. Now, we can't always negotiate out of it, right? But with some of these developers that we have worked with for a long time, we can. We do have the ability to do that. Whether it's finding someone else to take over that contract or whether it's simply cancelling the contract, because at that point in time, the property's probably gone up in value if it's an off-the-plan property.
So once again, it comes down to the team around you. What can having an established network for off-market opportunities mean for the purchaser?
You get better properties. That would be the first one. We don't just purchase one property. Most people purchase a property a year, maybe every couple of years. We do 5 or 6 a week or something like that, right? So we're in the market buying at volume, and that gives us a bit more negotiating power in terms of if we need special conditions in the contract, if we need to split up the deposits, whatever it is. Just gives us a bit more bargaining power on that front.
What does splitting up the deposit look like?
So some people might only have enough money to do a 5% deposit, but they've got really good saving habits. So that we would do that and it becomes part of the plan, because 5% that you put down now to secure something in today's price and then you save the other 5% before settlement means that you're securing the property in today's price, not in the price for 6 months, 7 months.
Yeah.
You've saved the full deposit. We've had cases where developers are happy to pay stamp duty when they get closer to the completion of the property. We've had cases where developers have paid deposits on people's behalf, right? And all of this is once you understand how a developer works and how the financing behind development works, mm-hmm. right, you start seeing why it's easy to give 30K, 40K away here. They're making a hell of a lot more than 30K here, 40K there in the whole project. But they need these sales to go to their finances yeah. and go, I've at least sold 30% mm-hmm. of the project. Then the financer will release another set of money, mm-hmm. you know, or another set of funds.
Do you have a question about investing that you'd like answered? Each month, we take questions from our listeners and put them to our resident expert, Luke Harris. With more than two decades of residential and commercial investment experience under his belt, Luke has seen the best and the worst of the property market. Have a burning question you want answered on an upcoming episode? Visit investorintelligence.com.au/questions and ask us today.
Say you do find an off-the-market opportunity without the help of an expert, which we've kind of clarified is probably not going to happen. Say you have got yourself a pretty good-looking deal on paper. How do you determine whether it's a good investment opportunity for you and your long-term plan?
Okay. Research. So make sure your education is where it needs to be even before you start looking at property. Make sure you do your financial reports. We use Augur here. So make sure that you're not buying the property because of the way it looks, mm-hmm. but you're buying the property based on the numbers, right? And thus the numbers stack up, not just looking at the yield percentage, right? You need to look at your full situation. What's your after-tax position? If the numbers stack up and you were lucky enough to secure one, then brilliant, go ahead. If the numbers don't stack up and you're buying it because you think you're getting something that someone else can't, or it's an emotional decision, mm-hmm. Then you probably need to go back to your education and sort that out. We obviously help with that. None of our members will ever get to this stage where they don't know what they're buying. They don't know why it's a good investment, why we've put that specific property in front of them. That's it. If we get to that point and we're presenting a property and they've got questions, whether it's a good property or not, we go back to education. We stop presenting and we go back to education. So I would urge people, if you're going to go about it yourself, to do exactly that.
Yeah.
If there's question marks and it doesn't feel 100% right, then don't do it, kind of thing.
Yep.
Yep.
That's great. So, and just to wrap up, Herman, as a property mentor, what is your key piece of advice that you like to provide your members? And it can be to do with what we've spoken about today, or it could just be in general.
Yeah, just keep it simple. That's probably my biggest advice. A lot of people come to us thinking that we're going to turn them into millionaires in a couple of years. And we tell all those people that that's not what we do here. Unfortunately, property is a very slow thing. If you're going to do it properly, it's a very slow process, right? You have to give the market time to do what it does to make the money that you need.
Sure.
So avoid getting to your second property and then all of a sudden start thinking, I can start doing developments, right? Avoid trying every strategy under the sun. Just keep it really simple. Focus on your three main points. What's the property price and the capital growth potential around that? What kind of infrastructure is going into the area? And is population moving to the area where you're purchasing? If those things stack up, you're going to get a supply and demand issue at some point. And the supply and demand is going to feed capital growth. And that's essentially what we need to have retirement or comfortable retirement. So if there's quicker ways to make money in property, we would know about it. There'll be people doing it out there.
Yeah.
So what we're very much on, keep it conservative, do your numbers, don't do anything too fancy.
That's great. Thank you for your time today, Herman.
Beautiful. Thank you.
If you found this episode or any of our episodes helpful, please make sure to share and leave a rating to help us reach more people on their investing journeys. And of course, subscribe to be notified when new episodes drop. Make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Investor Intelligence Podcast. You can find links to our other socials in the show notes, including a link to the Property Mentors weekly blog. If you're ready to get your property portfolio in shape for financial freedom, check out Luke's latest book, Property Fit. You can get yourself a copy at www.propertyfitbook.com.au.